Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. So last week I was watching golf, the U.S. or the Open Championship. And there was a break in the action, so I began to channel surf as I normally do. And I got sucked into this commercial selling a set of frying pans. These things seemed incredible. And Missy and I, my wife, were just talking about replacing our old set. And we had this set that we've pieced together over the last 28 years of our marriage. But in this new set that I saw, there was a pan for everything, every cooking need imaginable. And they were all matching. They were made in the USA, or so they said. And they had these testimonials from those who have bought these pans. And one person said, "These pans have changed my life." I began to think, if these frying pans can change someone's life, they must be extraordinary. Or that person needs to re-examine their life goals. But then they did that, "Buy now and we will drop one payment," and it snapped me right out of that trance. Infomercials. Who can forget those famous pitch lines? But wait, there's more. Call right now and we'll double your order. Infomercials, they make us chuckle, right? But they bring in some serious dollars. An estimated $91 billion in sales each year, according to the Larson Research Group. You may remember some of these things. The classics like the Ginsu steak knives, Jack LaLanne power juicer, the Snuggie, sweating to the oldies, Tony Little's Gazelle, the Magic Bullet, the Thighmaster, and my personal favorite, Ronco GLF formula number 9 hairspray. Spray on hairspray. So people are always looking for the next life-changing item to enhance their lives. And I'm wondering if the one disciple who approached Jesus in today's gospel is looking for that one thing that would change his life. Something he could get from Jesus, this prayer that would transform his life. Last week, I invited you to slow down and focus on the one thing, the kingdom of God coming near. How do we do this? By showing hospitality to our neighbors and to God. I asked you to become the reservoir from which God's love may flow. We are promised that the presence of God will not be taken away. Just as we heard in last week's gospel that Mary, in showing hospitality to God by listening to Jesus, had chosen the better part, which would not be taken away from her. And as we hear today's text in Luke, I believe Jesus continues teaching the way of being hospitable to God through prayer. Now, I know it's pure speculation to assume the motive of the one disciple asking Jesus to teach him to pray. But if human nature hasn't changed much in the last 2,000 years, this one disciple might have been after the one quick, easy, life-transforming infomercial from Jesus on prayer. Can you picture it? Jesus pitching the infomercial for prayer. Build your relationship with God in 5 easy-to-remember petitions and change your life. But wait! Order now, and we'll include 2 blessings absolutely free. All kidding aside, Jesus gives the disciples the prayer for which they are asking. And it focuses on the vital things for which we are to pray. And then he tells them a story about how and why we are to pray. So he starts out, "Father," Abba in Aramaic. The personal, intimate connection with the Creator Almighty. Hallowed be your name. Though it is a personal, intimate relationship that we have with God, God's name is sacred and holy. your kingdom come. Though we know God's kingdom has come near, Luke also wishes for his readers to look forward to the time when God's kingdom will show full manifestation at the return of Christ. And give us each day our daily bread. We are to pray each day for sustenance. The poor Jesus followers of the day were dependent on God to sustain them for the essentials, day-to-day meals. And the more well-to-do believers did not wish to take what they had for granted. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. All human beings are sinners in need of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin is central to the understanding of salvation. Receiving God's forgiveness includes the readiness to forgive others. Do not bring us to the time of trial, or lead us not into temptation. In the People's Commentary, it says this: this prayer is that God would deliver believers from such trials, for they were not confident they could endure them. Such a prayer is not confident in its own faith, but in God. And ask God not to permit faith to come into a testing it might fail. And though the prayer, the words that Jesus gives, seem to be enough to understand why or how we should pray, Jesus continues with this story or this parable about friends, which reveals God's relationship with us. He shows the disciples and us the way to replenish one's reservoir through prayer. Yes, Jesus gives us the words, but prayer is so much more than words. It's about understanding the nature of God, who God is, understanding the character of God. We are called to be in constant prayer. We are called to ask boldly for what we need, all the while understanding God's answer to our prayer might be silence, or it might just be no. Yet Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, God has fulfilled God's promise of love and salvation through Jesus Christ and wants a relationship with us. If we think it's only the words that are important, or prayer is something that we can simply check off our list for the day, we run the risk of turning God into a vending machine in the sky. We put in our prayer quarters and expect what we prayed for to come out. Therefore, Jesus incorporates the following story, this parable, about friends and the relationship of a loving God. The parable is about a friend, and because of his poor planning, he goes to another friend's home at a most inconvenient time, midnight, and asks for 3 loaves of bread because another friend of his has arrived and he has nothing to put in front of him. So surely this is to illustrate that we can go to God at any time, and it's usually because of our poor planning or life's troublesomeness that prompts us to pray. But what follows is not as clear. The response the original friend receives is one of refusal. But let's unpack that a bit. It loses something in the culture shift of the first century to the 21st century. In the first century, people, especially disciples, would not have extra bread lying around. They were just told to pray for their daily bread. For us, living in this century, if we were approached at midnight, though it would be inconvenient, just for bread, the worst we would have to do is get up, walk to our kitchen or the pantry and grab some bread, give it to our friend. In the first century, this request would mean waking up the whole family. Most lived in a one-room home, firing up a wood-burning stove, getting the flour prepared, getting the ingredients, mixing them up, allowing the bread to rise. You get the picture. Then Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Because the use of pronouns, it's hard to keep up with which he belongs to which noun, each entity, each person. Therefore, it's hard to know who is being persistent. I know I've heard this story many times, and I've come out of it with the understanding that the original friend is the one being persistent, the one asking for the bread. He petitions the sleeping friend, and through the original friend's persistence, he entices his sleeping friend to get up and make bread. And this theory holds true. If the sleeping friend is a representative of God, God is willing to do anything for us, including getting up at midnight and making bread, including going to the cross to assure our salvation. But here's the issue presented with this line of thinking. The original friend knocked only once at the door. He said what he wanted only once when he approached his friend. What's persistent about that? Don't get me wrong. I believe God wishes us to be persistent in prayer, to be bold in what we pray for. Perseverance in prayer leads us to a better relationship with God. And look at our first reading, after all, from Genesis. Abraham boldly negotiates with God. Abraham approaches God six times to appeal to the forgiving nature of God. And God relents each time. If there are 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? God says, if I find 50, yes. What about 45? Abraham inquires. If I find 45, I will spare the city. All the way down to 10. Let's hear this again. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. If we look at the gospel parable with a different theory in mind, it's possible that Jesus is saying the sleeping friend, God, is the one demonstrating persistence, which allows us to see something new as God is teaching the disciples about prayer that brings our focus not on what our persistence does, but on what God's persistence does. It brings our attention to who we are praying. The words of this prayer are important, yet Jesus pulls the disciples' attention to recognize God's character, to notice the nature of who God is, helping his disciples and us to perceive God as persistent in doing what God does. And that, my friends, is God loves you. God loves us. God is persistent in building relationship with us. If the sleeping friend revealed as God is the one who is persistent, then the message would be that prayers are answered not because of something about the one praying, the petitioner, but because of something about God. The believer's encouragement to pray rests on the character of God and not our own persistence. Because of God's persistence to be in relationship with us, God gives us the essentials of what we need. Holiness through the Holy Spirit, forgiveness and a taste of the kingdom through Jesus Christ and the sacraments of holy baptism and holy communion, and deliverance from the time of trial in relationship with God. Ever since God threw out the first seeds of creation, God persists in wanting relationship with us. As evil and human nature get in the way, and if you take a very literal lens of Scripture to view, God first sent fire and brimstone and then a flood, to get humanity's attention. Seeing that that didn't work, God promises never to destroy the earth again. Yet God persists. God then sent prophets, kings, and judges to notify human beings of God's covenant to love us. Yet humanity still couldn't grasp the grace God was extending to embrace us. And seeing that didn't work, God still persists. God then comes to us in the form of a child, becomes one of us. In Jesus Christ, God fully embraces humanity and takes matters to a whole new level. God persists. God's love, grace, and forgiveness are shown through the death and resurrection and ascension of God through God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus then says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." God is pursuing us. And in prayer, we receive, we will find, and our hearts will be opened to God's persistent relationship of love, grace, and forgiveness. That's life-changing. God fills our reservoir of love through prayer, through relationship with God, and is with us in whatever trial finds us. If we who are evil know what good gifts are and how to give them to our children, Jesus says, how much more will our heavenly Creator give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Prayer isn't easy. It's not always quick. But it is the way to truly change one's life. Will you pray with me now? Lord, teach us to pray so we might awaken to the wonder of your presence, so we might feel gratitude for your gift of life today, so we might discover your kingdom as revealed in our sisters and brothers, so we might find safety beneath the shelter of your wings. Lord, teach us to pray so we might forgive those who have wronged us, so we might lead free from pretense and hypocrisy, so we might trust your perfect plans and not replace them with our own, so that we might love you with our whole hearts and love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, teach us to pray so the truth of your word resonates in what we say and do, so that we might prepare a way through the wilderness of chaos and pain, so our eyes are alert and our souls are awake to your movement in our midst, so our good work is fruitful in the reign of your kingdom. Lord, teach us to pray so the lonely and hopeless find comfort in your abundant presence, so those in war and famine find the everlasting peace of your spirit, so we are not indifferent to the suffering of the world around us, so we see your character of pure, unconditional love. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.